So we're gonna start at the bottom. It's really in the middle of the sugya. We're gonna start at the bottom of Kuf Amud Bet, really at the bottom. So the Gemara here is talking about the parameters of Aninut. What's Aninut?
When someone dies,
right? So at the first stage of non-mourning, pre-mourning, is Aninut, right? Is before burial, but we'll see what's Daraita, what's Darabanan. What? Yeah. So the Gemara says, "Visava Rebbe, Aninut Laila De'oraita." So the Gemara had at this point posited that Aninut at night is biblical, right? So this is part of the machloket of the Gemara here, whether what's De'oraita, what's not. The Gemara quotes a position from Yudan Nasi, assuming that Aninut even at night is De'oraita, where the majority position of the Gemara is that Aninut is only the first day when the person dies until burial, but only during the day. Okay, anything else is derabanan. Now, one implication of that, now most of the implications that we know about Aninut are what? Are that you're not chayvin mitzvot and things like that. But obviously in Zvachim, that's not the primary concern. The issue in Zvachim is that an onan can't eat a karban. Or bring. But definitely eat. Vatanya. So the Gemara is going to figure out, well, how do we know? And it's going to turn to the first extensive discussion of limitations on someone because their immediate relatives died that we know of in Chumash. What? But not that you died. Very good. So the Gemara says, Vatanya, Hein Hayom Ani. Right, so he says, what's the Pasuk? So the full Pasuk is, Vaidaber Aharon el Moshe, hein hayom ikrim et chatatam et olatam lefnei Adonai, v'atikrenu tikeila v'chalti chatat hayom itav b'nei Adonai, right? Would it be good if I ate this karban? Hayom asur, and we're medayik, hayom, it's asur, v'layla mutar, uledoro bein b'yom, bein malayla asur. Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda quotes a drasha that the aninut of in the time of Aaron was only during the day, but forever aninut yom v'layla is d'oraita. And Rebbe Omer aninut layla eina midivrei Torah. And Rebbe holds that it's not minat Torah. Ela midivrei sofrim. So where it says la olam aninut layla.
I'm trying to figure out what that means. Midivrei sofrim.
Darabanan.
What's sofrim?
Midivrei sofrim is a term that is used for darabanan. Sometimes.
Okay. Well, I know what it's sofer.
In the Gemara, it usually means Darabanan. In the Rambam,
it does not.
In the no.
It, well,
no.
It means,
in the Rambam, it means I'm trying to confuse you.
Wow.
Yes.
I have a great book on it. You want to read it?
No, no. The Rambam explicitly tells you that when you use the word Divrei Sofrim, he can mean Daraita or Darabanan.
Right. But there's a reason. There's a pattern.
Correct. It's anything which is not explicit in the Torah, which could be Halachah Moshe Sinai. It could be something
developed by Oh,
correct.
Which could be
Darsim. Which could be Darsim. Very good. That's what he says. It's explicit in the Rambam.
What does he say?
In the 17th parak of Kalim in the Parash Mishnayot.
Okay, so that would explain why I don't know.
You don't know that?
Well, that's not my problem.
I've now solved it.
I've now solved it. I've told you that that's what he says.
It probably quotes that in the book.
Which book is this?
Iron Folks.
Yeah, he definitely does. If he doesn't, then it's very sloppy, but I'm sure it is.
And you should set the rabbi's all those
It's really good.
Oh, good. Someone just asked me about it this week.
You should read something.
Okay.
You asked
for
books.
No.
Yeah.
You did it a week.
No, I'm sure it's good. I've heard it's good. I'm not saying I'm sure it is good. I just need a hard copy of it or a soft copy of it or whatever.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, but the Rambam says explicitly. He says, "Va'al yitacha." I'll read you the Rambam for a second, just because we meant it. Amru shiure divrei sofrim imaklas v'dinu shkolar shiurin halacha moshe misinai. He said, don't get confused by the fact that the shiurin, right, measurements, are called divrei sofrim, if elsewhere the Gemara says halacha moshe misinai. Ki kol mashalo nidba'er b'lashon ha-Torah. Anything that isn't explicit in the Torah, mi divrei sofrim korenoto. We call it divrei sofrim. V'afilu dvarim she'ein halacha moshe misinai. Then it's not, and everything else is divrei sofrim. Ki amru midivrei sofrim, mashmosh adavar kabbalat sofrim, kichol apirushim, malachot v'achmolat moshe, otikun sofrim, kol tagadu gzer. It's either halachah moshe misinai, a drasha, or The Rabbanans. No, it's anything not explicit in the Torah is fair game for the Rambam's Gold Divrei Sofrim. Could be anything. Anyways, so the Gemara says, "Olam derabanani." So the Gemara says, "No, Rebbe holds that aninut at night is also derabanan." The Chacham masu chizuk ledivreihem yoter mishel Torah, and nevertheless, there are certain chumrot that apply even at night, even though it's derabanan, because we're stricter on the derabanan than we are on the deraita. Okay. Now, once the Gemara is talking about Aninut, and it invoked the story of Moshe and Aaron after the death of Nadab and Abihu, so now the Gemara goes into a nice lengthy exposition of said story. So, Tan Rabbanan, Kichen Su Veiti. And we're going to go to the Pesukim in a minute, because obviously the first thing you have to do is read the Pesukim. But let's see the conversation, then let's try to figure out what Chazal are doing. Kichein suveiti, kasher suveiti, kasher tziva Hashem. Kichein suveiti ba'aninut, yochlua, kasher suveiti, v'shat ma'isa, omer len kasher tziva Hashem, lo me'elai ani omer. So what does he say? For I am commanded, kichein suveiti, as I am commanded, suveiti. Third time, tziva. Why three times do we emphasize command? So Moshe tells Aaron, you shall eat it, because I am commanded to tell you that you have to eat these karbanot, even though aninot is you can't eat karbanot, even though you are an onin. What does the next one, the second suveiti, mean? That Moshe told Aaron that his son, right, that his sons burnt, when they burnt the chatat, as we'll see, the chatat Rosh Chodesh, Moshe said, as God commanded, meaning, I told you not to do that, because that's what God told me. So then the Gemara says, but wait a second, wasn't it burnt because they were onanim? And therefore, Aaron said ka'ela, meaning, what does he say? If other things like this would have happened to me, would I have eaten it? And Moshe says, you're right. You shouldn't have eaten it. So what's the problem? Right. So Moshe originally said, don't eat it, because that's what God told me. And Aaron said, that doesn't make sense. It's not lumjishly right. Right? I disagree. And Moshe said, you're right. God didn't tell me that. The third part, I was wrong. You're right not to eat it, because you're an oni. So, Amar Shmuel, lo kasha. Hari Nechemya. So he says, there's no contradiction. The first braita, which says that Moshe told Aaron and his sons to eat the meat in Aninut, that's like Rabbi Yehuda. The braita, which says that they were correct in not eating it, is Rabbi Nechemya, Titanya. Because we have the following braita, Bifnei Aninut Sarfua, that Aaron and his sons burnt the karban, because of aninut, l'kach ne'emar ka'ela, divrei Nechemya, that aninut automatically leads to the burning, right? You don't eat it. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, b'nei tuma nisrafa. No, aninut would not be a reason to not eat it. They burned it because of tuma. She'im ata omer b'nei aninut nisrafa. Because if you say they burned it because of aninut, hayu l'shloshtan she'yisrafuha. Then they should have burnt all three karbanot that day, right? Meaning if there is a blanket prohibition on eating karbanot in aninot, then they shouldn't just have burned this one, but they didn't. They burnt some of them, not all of them. And if you think that aninot at night, right? And you should have waited till night, eat it at night, because you can eat karbanot for more than one day, right? Or if it wasn't because of aninot, then Pinchas could have eaten them because he wasn't mourning. And therefore, it must be that the reason they burned is not because of Aninu, because of Tuma.
It just happened to get
Tuma. Well, there were dead bodies there.
In the
world. Yeah. Not crazy. Rav Amar, it's not like we didn't know there were dead bodies there. That's the whole story here. Rav Amar. So Rav Amar, Idivinu Nechemya, Lokasha, Kanvakachi, Shah, Kanvakachi, Dar. He said no. both bright that are like Rav Nechemya, who holds that they burnt the chatot because of Aninot. So the Braita in which it says that Moshe told them to eat it anyways, that those were the time-bound karbanot, the special karbanot. Namely, remember, what is the story here? Aron Sinai died, but it was during the inauguration of Mishkan, so there were the karban miluim. So those were, there was a special gzera katu, or special, not gzera katu, gzera from God, eat it. But the regular, it was also Rosh Chodesh, so the karban chatan of Rosh Chodesh, that one, the laws of Anino did apply, and therefore, so they didn't eat them. And Rabbi Chemya mitaretz luachi. So now Rabbi Nechemya would say the conversation went like this. Madua lo achaltem. Moshe said, why aren't you eating the chatot? Amar lo Moshe l'Aaron. What Moshe was telling Aaron was Shema nichnas domo lifnai v'lifnim. Did the blood accidentally get inside the Kodesh making it possible? Is that why you burned it? Amar lo. Hein lo huva et dama. It wasn't brought inside. Shema chutz l'mechitzata. So Moshe said, okay, well, maybe it went outside. Amar lo, b'kodesh ha'ita. That, of the karban. Right, Moshe's challenging him because they burnt. We're going to see in a second the sukkim. I'm going to read the Gemara first because then we're going to... Hein lo huva et dama. The pasuk says... Because it's what it says in the pasuk. That's what the Gemara is trying to figure out. They burnt the chatat. Chatat Rosh Chodesh, it just said. God, you guys don't know Chumash. I should have done Chumash first, but I want to... I know, but I want to show you... But I'm doing this like I did last week, with methodologically, what do we have to do? Right? Which is... Now, obviously, the first thing is you see the Gemara is commenting on a story. You look at the story. But let's first see what the Gemara does and then figure out what it's doing. So then Moshe says to him, maybe it's because of Aninot. Oops, all to one. That's why. Amar lo Moshe, b'chem heim hikrivu, ani hikravti. Aninot alone wouldn't invalidate it. That would only invalidate if my sons brought it, because non-Kohen Gadols can't do it by Aninot, but a Kohen Gadol can. V'amar le heim lo huva et dama. He says, okay, well, if it was kosher brought as a karban, then it should have been kosher to eat, Aaron. Amar lo. And Aaron said, no, it was proper for me to bring the karban, but not eat it. If this would happen to me, and I would eat the chatat, hayitav b'nei Hashem. Would it have been good in God's eyes? Shema lo shamata. Elo b'kachei shah. You claim that God told you that I'm supposed to eat this karban, but I think you're wrong. I think God only told you that I'm supposed to eat the miluim, which was a unique karban, because, okay, that I should do. But the regular karban?
Yes, sir.
I can prove it from Meiser, from a Kalvachomer. Uma Meiser Akal, Amra Torah, Lo Achalti Be'oni. By Meiser, we say, by the Vidui Meiser, I didn't eat it as an Oni. In case you didn't know how we know it's usher to eat a carbon ba'aninot, it's because it's a pasuk.
I know, I read this pasuk.
Good, what parsha is it?
I have no idea, parsha.
I just told you it's in Vidui Meiser.
I wasn't attributing it.
It's in Kitavo, at the end of the Torah. So for other karbanot, for sure not. Miyad. So Moshe said, you're right. Moshe said, you're right. I'm not embarrassed to admit I was wrong. I heard what God said, and then I forgot what God had told me. And then the Gemara brings a different version of this. And then Veriver Reb Shimon, Reb Yudah Reb Shimon, Echi Mitartzel. How did they understand the discussion? Hachi Mitartzelahu. Madua lo achaltu b'rachatat b'makom haKodesh. Why didn't you eat it? Shema nichnas dama lefnei v'lefnim. Maybe it went into the Kodesh. Amar lo, hein lo vatamat. It didn't. Sheva chutz mechitzat hayatza. Maybe went out. Amar lo, hein bekodesh hayta. V'dimu ba aninut akrivita. Maybe you brought an aninut. Upsal tu amar lo, Moshe, hein akrivita. V'dibazu ba aninut. Ana akrivita. No, I brought it, so it's not puzzle. V'dilma agav mirareichu pashatu ba. V'itam mai. And he said, well, maybe because you were so sad, you accidentally were metameit it. Amar lo, Moshe, Kachani beinecha. You think so low of me? Shani mevazek hodshe shamayim? That I disgrace the holy things of God? Even my next two children would die. I wouldn't be mevaze the carbon. How dare you accuse me? So he says, okay, then why aren't you eating it? Amar lo, v'ihen lo huva adama uvekodesh hayta. Achol tochlo otel bakodesh. Again, Aaron says, Amar lo, Shema lo shamata ela balayla. Maybe only at night I could eat it because ain't I need it? Balayla, that's the machlok in the Gemara. Diba yom, because during the day it should be aser. Kava chomer mi maiser akal. Uma maiser akal amrator lo achal diba ni menu. Kodesh chomer lo kol shekein. Miyad vayishma Moshe. Vayitav be'enav. Lo bosh Moshe lomar lo shamati ela shamati v'shachachti. Moshe said, you're right, I'm not embarrassed to tell you, I heard what God said, and then I made a mistake, I forgot, I'm sorry. That is the amud of Gemara that I want to analyze. So, tell me, what do we do right now? Obviously, what do we do? We open up a chumash, very good. Because Gemara here is writing a whole analysis in the psukim. In order to understand what it's doing, we need to look at this story. Okay, parashat. Come on, what parasha? Shmini, Shmini. How do I know Shmini? Yeah, what happened by Yom HaShmini? They inaugurated the Mishkan and they brought a foreign fire and died.
Okay, let's parakam pasu.
So we will start from Perek Tet Pasuk Chav Gimel. Okay? So, background, they're inaugurating the Mishkan. Got it? I could read the whole parsha, but that we have to start at this part of the story. So what happened? So Moshe and Aaron come to the El Moed, and they go out and they bless the people and they see the glory of God. And the fire comes out from heaven and it devours the karbanot on the Mizbeach, and all the people see and they rejoice and they fall on their face in prostration to God. At that moment, so Aaron's sons take their fire pans and they bring a fire and they bring a ketoret, a foreign fire that God did not command. The fire comes out and devours them and they are eaten. They die. Vayomer Moshe Aaron, Hu asher diber Adonai lemar bikrovai ekadesh. Val pnei chol ha'am ekaved vayidom Aaron. So Moshe says to Aaron, this is what God said. I will become sanctified through my holy, those who come close to me. And I will be honored, be given gravitas to the in face of all the people. And and Aaron was silent. He calls the Levi'im, their cousins, and he says, take the bodies out. So they take it out of the camp, as Moshe said. In distinction to the normal minhag of Avila, you can't rip your clothes. You can't mess up your hair. You can't because if you do, you will die. And wrath will come out to the people. Instead, the Kohanim have to continue as normal, and the people will mourn the tragedy that happened.
But this one applies to this Torah. It's not a rule for...
Yes, this is an exception for right now. Umipetach ol moed lo teitzu pen tamutu kishem mishchadonai lechem v'yasu kedvar Moshe. Don't leave because you are anointed by God. And they listen. And then you get the weird psukim, which obviously so much has been written about in the Gemara and the Mefarshim, which is the next psukim, which is in the middle of this story. We get the prohibition of drinking before you do avodah. By the Ber Adonai Aaron Lemor, Yain v'shachar al teish, latov anecha itcha, itach bivoachem elom oed, lo tamutu chukata elom dorotechem, don't drink when you do avodah, ulavdil ben ha-kodesh ben ha-chol, ben ha-tameh, ben ha-tahor, lo arod ben Yisrael, kol chukim asher diber Adonai, lehem yan roshem, when you're paskening, tahor, tameh, etc., don't be drunk. And then we return to the story. Vaida, because obviously someone loses two of their children. This is the relevant thing you should be saying.
Actually, yeah.
Don't be drunk when you paskin halacha.
They would say that they would want to get drunk after.
Possibly, or they were drunk. But okay. Vaida ber Moshe Aaron Elazar leTamar b'Dam Atarim. Chu et aminchan oter mishi Adonai v'yichlu matzot el mizbeach ki kodesh kodeshim. And now he tells them, go, bring the mincha, eat the matzot, v'achaltem otah b'makom kadosh. And eat it in the holy place, because this is the law for you and your children from the fire offerings of God, for so have I been commanded. That's the first Suveti, remember from the Gemara? Yeah? Vet chazeh tnufa, vet shokat tnuma, tochlu b'makom tahor, atah ubanecha ubnotecha itach, kichakcha v'chak banecha, nitnu mezibchei shalmei b'nei Yisrael. And the breast that gets waved, and the shok, the thigh, that those are the contributions to the Kohanim you should eat, because that is the law for you and your children. Shokat truma v'chaseh tnufa al-sheikh alavim yavyu lanif tnufa l'fnei Adonai v'ayel l'chal l'vanecha itcha l'chak olam gasher tziva Adonai. These are the things that you get forever. Chazev ha-shok. V'et si'ira chatat. But the Sira Chatat, Dorosh, Dorash, Moshe, Vinei Saraf. So Moshe, and now things get weird. Dorosh, Dorash. What does that mean? What is Dorash? What?
Perfect.
Well, what's the problem? What can Dorash mean? Let's go through it. Let's start to understand how things work. Because until now, what has happened in the story? What is the attitude of Aaron, Eleazar, and Itamar? Not just calm, but more.
Passive?
Passive, maybe. But there's a more important one. Obedient. Vayasu kidvar Moshe. Vayasu kidvar Moshe. Right? Okay, but I'm asking what the psukim emphasize.
Sure.
They emphasize obedience. Right? Mm-hmm. Yes? Now something happens, which is Vesira Chatat Dorosh, Dorosh, Dorash Moshe. What is Dorash? What does Dorash mean?
Search.
So it can mean to search, it can mean to expound. Okay? So, what is happening now? What's happening? What do I know is happening in this story?
Tone shift?
Yeah, what's the tone shift?
Going from obedient to questioning?
Yes. No, who's... Are they questioning?
Who's Dorei Sarash?
Moshe.
Moshe's questioning?
What is he questioning? What happened? What happened? What is he questioning? This isn't a hard question. It's in the pasuk. Read, people. I told you to bring a chumash. Ve'ed sira chatat. As for the sira chatat, darash darash Moshe, v'nei saraf. Suddenly, things aren't going the way he thinks it's supposed to. He's like, wait. Okay, they brought the miluim right. They did that right. There's one more karban. The chatat. Wait, what's going on? Why don't I see the chatat? Vihine sarat. What's vihine?
They did it without asking.
Yeah, it is burned. Vayiktsof. What is Vayiktsof? He's furious. What is wrong with you people? Why didn't you eat the chatan in the holy place? It is the holies of holies, and God gave it to you. This is what's going to carry the sins and forgive the sins of the Jewish people to atone for them. You burnt it? You burnt it? Hein lo uvata malakodesh benima. Nothing happened wrong with their blood. Achol tochlu ota bakodesh kasher tzivti. Eat it like I told you. Vaydaber Aharon el Moshe. Hein hayom hikrivu et chatatam v'olatam livnei Adonai v'tikrenoti ka'ila v'achalti chatat hayom itav b'nei Adonai. And Aaron says to him, if I brought the chatat today and this had happened to me and I ate it, would God like that? God would be okay with that. V'yishma Moshe v'itav b'nei Adonai. Moshe's like, I hear. Okay. Now, this is the story. Now you've read two versions of this story. So now if we categorize them, we could have read in either order. In the Psukim, would you like to characterize the interaction between Moshe and his nephews and brother? What are you people doing? Are you out of your minds? Right? Are you crazy? This is how we're going to get atonement? You didn't need it. I told you to do it. And then what happens? Yeah. And eating the karbana is part of it. And Kohanim, right? Kohanim ochlem ubailim kaprim. Okay, fine. He starts yelling at them. What are you people doing? Why do you think he's so angry? If you just read Pshat, why is he so angry? Yeah! Your brothers just died because they didn't know how to listen. So you know how to listen for half of the day. The lesson ran out. You didn't figure out what happens when you don't listen in the Mikdash. Eat it. That's what God said. That's what I told you to do, people. And then something shocking happens. Then Aaron defends him. Aaron defends them with a svara. Very good. Lomdus. He comes and says, but I have a lomdus. Now, imagine the scene. Moshe is yelling because God said, do this. And Aaron says, Elamai, that was the Havamina. Can I tell you the Maskana? You know, that's an interesting Havamina. And Moshe, in one of the most amazing moments in Chumash, says, Taka, you know? It's a good Svara. I'm okay. I'm a Kabel. Okay. So, now we've read the Gemara's version. And I would like to ask you, what did the Gemara do? Okay, so good. The first thing that the Gemara needs to do is figure out, let's make sense. What is the major question that if you are the Gemara, is driving you?
How the Aaron gives fire against God?
Very good. Is how Moshe's argument is yelling and screaming, you went against God. Aaron says, but I have a svara. And Moshe says, Taka, it's a good svara. So Chazal have to ask the following questions, which is, what happened that Aaron can give a svara against God? And Moshe not just will say, it's an interesting svara, but no, he says, Taka, you're right. Good. So what is the Gemara's move?
Say that Moshe misunderstood Hashem.
So, okay, the first thing the Gemara has to do is it has to assume that the Gemara is not willing. So, what methodological possibilities are there in the Gemara? In the Psukim. In the Psukim, methodologically, what possibilities are there? So, either, right, you have two main possibilities. One is Moshe got it wrong what God said, possibility one, and Aaron figured out what God said through Lomdus, or Aaron changed what God said through lamdus. In the psukim, those are both possible, right?
Yeah, I don't know what that
means.
Well,
not necessarily, because it says Kashrut Tibesi in the
psukim. Okay. Logically, those are the two possibilities, right? Which is either... Right? No. Moses says Kashrut Tibesi, and Aaron says, but I have a svara.
Right, it's not clear that God said it. Could be a svara.
Oh, very good. So, that means there's two possibilities. Okay, there's two possibilities, which is either Moshe got it wrong, right?
Because it wasn't a command, it was a svara.
Right, Moshe got it wrong, and that's why Aaron corrects him, or Aaron convinces God through lamdus, and God changes his mind. Those are the two possibilities. Okay, yeah? Are we clear that in the psukim, these are the possibilities? Good. Now we come to the Gemara. Now I want you to come to the Gemara, and what does the Gemara do? The Gemara wants to answer, Big Adol, what's going on here? So what does it do?
It shows you the lamdus.
So, okay, but let's be very careful. Where does the Gemara put in the lamdus? At the end?
At the beginning.
Before
Moshe gets saved.
Ah, so the Gemara, so, but I want you to think like Chazal. Chazal say, wait a second. In the end, Moshe is convinced by lamdus. Moshe is convinced by lamdus, yeah? But when you read the Gemara, it sounds like this is Rabbi Ginsburg's share, and not a sichas moser, right? Yeah? In the Gemara, it's what the Havamina Maskona. Havamina Maskona. Havamina Maskona. Yeah? In the Psukim, it's screaming and yelling. So you're Chazal now. What are the cues that tell you that you should reread the Psukim and maybe see a different conversation?
All svaras are yelling matches.
What are the cues in the Psukim? I want you to think. What are Chazal's... What? So one diuk is that while Moshe says he's... No, it's not Suvesi. Be careful. Sivesi. Correct. Is that the first diuk that should tip you off is that earlier in the Psukim, it says Suveti. What is Suveti? I was commanded by God. Moshe is the object. It was commanded to me. But the last thing before Aaron responds with lamdus that Moshe buys, it doesn't say Suveti. It says Siveti. I commanded you.
Which one is Suveti?
What? And Yodalit.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
you give them. You're right before your dollar. Suveti. So one is a grammatical, which is that some of these things Moshe says he was commanded.
And
the other is that Moshe commanded, which gives Chazal.
God said
exactly. Right. So the first thing that the Gemara figures out is, well, wait a second. Clearly, Moshe got a command. And clearly, by the end of the day, it doesn't include all the karbano. So, what do? They say.
So they say
tsuveti. Said there was something you commanded, but part of it, it turns out, it was only tsuveti. The Moshe made a mistake. That's the first clue. What's the next? So now, what's the next reason that they think, not just the Moshe, that Aaron corrects Moshe's lamdus, right? That I agree with you 100%. That the way Chazal conclude that God isn't changing his mind, but that Moshe misunderstood, is probably Tzuveti versus Tzuveti, point one. And point two is Chazal probably aren't willing to say that God is so impressed by human beings' lamdus that he changes what he says.
God said the Uber and Moshe...
Okay, good, exactly, right? That's point one.
It's literally different.
But why... Good, so now, why... Why do Chazal then make this a lamdus shir with Havaminas Maskanas? Why? So here I want to be very careful. One possibility, as many academics have pointed out, is the Bavli especially takes every conversation and makes it into a Beit Midrash. Right? Many agadot that we have in Yerushalmi get Beit Midrashified in the Bavli. So you could just say this is the Bavli's general Beit Midrashification of everything. Of everything. That every Agadata, every story, if they can, they make it happen in the Beit Midrash. Or, don't worry, it takes place in the Beit Midrash, they make it Lamdish. They like to do that. Okay, that's possible. Here I think that's actually wrong. I don't think that's why they're doing it. What, probably, I would guess, are Chazal's hint that we should see this as a Lamdish discussion? Two words. No. No. Dorash, Dorosh, Dorash. What does Drasha mean? It either means he sought out, he was looking for it, or it means he was doiresh. He was expounding. Of course.
That means as far as it should be heard.
But, but what does the, once you have the word, darash, right? Now, Chazal are very into these words. Chazal say something very special about these words that might tell you that they really like these words.
What do they say about these words?
What do they say about these words? Let's see if you remember what they say about these words.
Oh, God. Is this something you learned?
Daydrisha. They love themselves and they love themselves.
Chazal says something very special about these words.
Kiddushin.
The Gemara there tells a little story. Not a story. No, not a story. There were once people known as the Sofrim. The Sofrim were people who were very, very medactic in the letters and of the Torah, the words, the psukim. No, the Gemara just says, "Hayu Sofrim kol hayot yotir shebetar." They used to count all the letters in the Torah, and they discovered Shomrim. Very good, Vav de Gachon chetzin shel yotir shebetar. The word Vav in the word Gachon is the middle letter. Darosh darash chetzin shel yotir. This is pumped. The exact middle of the Torah, which is not according to ours. This, between Darosh and Darash, these two words is the exact midpoint of the Torah. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily work with ours, but what is... But amazingly, what is this? Actually, I'm not sure if this one works or not. Now, the numbers of Pesukim don't, but this might. Oh, it's very close. It might be right even according to our Chumash. I'm not sure. I have to look. But according to Chazal, this is the dead center, right? So it also, by the way, it's clearly something Chazal very fast. It's also very telling. Oh, the center of the Torah is
Drasha,
all right in the middle, literally the middle of the Drasha, middle of the Torah. Anyways, I do think that at least psychologically, but probably also explicitly, what's driving Chazal is that there's a dual meaning to Darash Darash. It could mean to seek out, or it could mean to be Doresh. Because look at the Gemara. Now go back to the Gemara. What does the Gemara do? It literally takes a screaming match. And what does it do? A series of drashot. Think about it. Go back to the Gemara. What did it say? Exactly. He says to them, I'll read you just one of the conversations again, not both of them, but I'll read it, is... Madua lo achaltem. He said to them, why didn't you eat? Amar lo Moshe Aaron. Shema nichnas. Right, again, look at the psukim and the difference between Chazal do. The pasuk is, Heim lo uva edama. El kodesh benima. Nothing happened to the blood. It didn't go inside. It's totally fine. Why didn't you bring the karban? That's the pasuk. Gemara. Shema nichnas dama lifnaim lifnim. Maybe it became puzzle by going inside. Amar lo. It's not a scream. It's, no, hey, lova adama. It didn't become possible by going in. So he says, okay, shema chutz lemichitza atayotza. Maybe it went out. Amar lo, bikodesh haita. Again, that's the Gemara. Shema, it went in. No, it didn't. Maybe it went out. No, it was fine. The pasuk, hey, lova adama, ela kodesh benima. It didn't happen. So where did Chazal get the notion that in the Pesukim, Moshe is yelling, it's fine. And in the Gemara, he's asking, is it possible for this reason? No. Is it possible for that reason? No. How about this reason? No. Taka. Right? And then, again, he says, Eat it. Bakodesh kasher tzivaiti. Eat it. Right? And then the Gemara goes on. V'dilmu ba'anin u'rachrivuta. Maybe you were an onein and you shouldn't have brought it. And Aram says, Mom, apitom, I'm a kohen gadol. I can bring it ba'aninut. So he says, so eat it, but not yelling. What is Moshe saying? Is it possible this reason? No. That reason? No. That reason? No. So eat it. It's kosher. I paskin. It's kosher. And now Aram says to him, right? So in the pasuk, what does he say to him? I'm suffering. You want me to bring eat the karban now? Does he say that that's what God said? No. Ah, now here's a major difference. The simple pshat of the pasuk is why does Aaron say, right? What does he say?
Can you only eat?
So here's the question. Aaron says, I'm in pain, right? Would God want me to eat it, right? So what is he saying? Is it obvious he's making a legal argument?
No, he's saying.
He's saying, I don't feel like I can bring it. God wouldn't want me to. Right? What if Chazal do that? They say, Shema lo shamata ela bekotche shah. I know intuitively that this is wrong. Now, is intuitive going to help here? No. So now what do Chazal do? They give Aaron an argument, which is, well, the maaser can't be brought, can't be eaten ba'aninut. So I understand that you had a drasha that we have to eat the karbanot, even though we're mourning. But maybe you misunderstood. Maybe the drasha you heard was only a gzeret akatuv, a special halacha, because we were bringing the karbanot of the miluim. But the sira chatar, according to Chazal, is the sira shkodesh. This is a normal karbanot that happens to be brought today, and therefore it follows the rules of normal karbanot. And therefore, I have a good lamdus. Right now, very interestingly, by the way, what else do they do? At this line, it's not just they take away the pathos of Moshe screaming, they take away the pain of Aaron. Right? Aaron is saying, I don't feel like it. You think God wants me to do that? And Chazal say, no, he's saying formally, I'm the din oinein, and an oinein doesn't eat because she shah, doirois, so maybe you only heard about she shah. Oh. And Moshe says, you know?
Textbook definition of sociopath.
This is like the halachic man story of David Pershiner, right? The Rav's other grandfather, that he tells the story that his daughter was dying, so he knew he was going to be an onein soon. So he said, I need to put on my tefillin before I come an onein. Soon I'm not going to be able to guide the mitzvah. And Rai Karmi told me that when the Rav told this in Shir once, Talmidim begged him to never tell that story again because they found it so disturbing. But that's sort of what it feels like, is that the Gemara is taking away the pathos. And in the Psukim, Aaron's screaming, this is painful, this is crazy, I can't do this. God wouldn't want me to. But that's the interesting thing, is then the Psukim, it sounds like they're making he's making an emotional claim. Is God, this isn't an authentic, this can't be what God wants from me.
Cannot be based on emotion.
So it could be, but no, I understand what it is. Now, obviously, you'll say that the fact you can't eat a karban ba'anino is because it's a din simcha. No, I understand, but my point is simply that the pathos of the psukim are, I'm sad, the emotions. I can't do this. God's gonna want me to do this, and the Gemara's version, following the Darosh Darash, is I have a kavah chomer from Maaser, and Moshe says, yes, it is.
And that retroactively, even though Moshe thought retroactively they created din and tzotzar. That's a fascinating.
Very good. So now, so there's the first level of this that we've done. But now, Graber correctly points out. Wait. There's another problem here, which is, I'm gonna build up your question. So he says it's amazing. Aaron doesn't consult Moshe, but there's a much bigger deal. Which is what? Especially if you think retroactive. For sure. But then there's an even bigger problem. It's not just, he went against Moshe. What's the bigger problem here? Come on. What's the bigger problem? Come on. What is this on the heels of? Not of an avihu, not listening to God and dying. And according, remember, there's a big machloket in the Gemara and in the Midrashim. What did Nadav and Avihu do? And if this was our Gemara, I would do it, but we're not. It's not our Gemara. What? We're going to do it as a multi-week. What? I mean, we can. If you want, we can go back to that. But first, I wanted to focus. I know. That's why I figured I'm giving you no source sheets. We're going to read this Gemara. We're going to do this. Do you understand why now? Because you don't need it. Because we're trying to understand what they're doing. Very good. So what are the sins? What are the sins that the Gemara identifies that none of them of you did? So the Gemara has all types of possibilities. Either they were drunk. Where did Chazal get the idea they were drunk? Because the law is right in the middle. Okay, but one of them, what does the Gemara in Erevin conclude? They paskin halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban. Very good. Is they paskined when Moshe was present. So, right, this is Gemara in Erevin Samach Gimel. Amar Rava b'fanav aser v'chayev mita. If you paskin from your Rebbe, you're chayev mita. Shalom b'fanav aser. V'ein chayev mita v'shalom b'fanav lo. V'atanya. And the Brita says, Rabbi Lazar omer lo meitu b'nei Aaron ha'choru halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban. They died because they paskin in front of my Moshe. My drosh. What drosha did they make? Now you understand what Chazal are doing. They're playing with your head. They made a drosha. That the pasuk is that the Kohanim have to put. That shows that even if Esh is coming from God, we have to bring. And because they made a drosha and paskin that consulting with Moshe. Boom! They died. And now I will make Graeber's question better, which is, wait a second. If that was the case, then the proper lesson you're supposed to derive from Dov and Davidu is never pass in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ask Moshe Rabbeinu. That would be great. Except the immediate next story, it's not just, according to the Psukim, there's no indication that Aaron paskined against Moshe. It could just be that he said, I couldn't do it. God wouldn't want me to. Right? It's not clear that he's making a psak and not just saying, I can't do it. But Chazal go out of the way and say, no, he was paskining without checking with Moshe. And therefore, what should you expect would happen to them?
Elazar dies as well.
Or Aaron would die, or someone would die. Aaron would die, Elazar, someone would die, right? And instead, all your expectations are shattered, because instead, what do you have? Moshe says, Taka, you're right. From here, we learn the humility of Moshe that he wasn't afraid to say I'm wrong. And you're looking at this story and you're saying, wait a second. I don't know what just happened. Because you're telling me that none of you died because they paskined against Moshe Rabbeinu. And then immediately, Elazar and Itamar and Aaron are going against Moshe. Moshe starts screaming at them. And instead of them dying, Moshe says, Taka, your svara is right. And the Gemara says, unless you think this is just weakness, that they're just emotional. No, there's a halamdos, they paskin against Moshe. And instead of them dying, Moshe says, you know, I was wrong. I totally misunderstood what God said. Chatasi, my fault. That's on me. So now you look at it and you say, and what lesson am I supposed to learn exactly? That you're supposed to paskin against Moshe? I mean, I'm pretty sure two people just died for that. And then three other people, then decide that they have a better lumdos. And this time you don't die. Oh, this time. Oh, very good. So Avi gets a brilliant conclusion, which is very hard, which is, it's only us to paskin against your Rebbe if you paskin wrong. Oh, that's the conclusion. Now, that is not a bad conclusion of the Gemara. The problem is, no, it is a, put it this way. It is a possible conclusion from reading the story, but that can't be the conclusion because that gives everybody the out. They'll just say, what do you mean? I'm posking against my rib because I'm right. Right? Very good, right? So what we need to figure out is, how did Chazal... So I think we've partially answered the question of how did Chazal get the notion that this was a drasha, namely, darash darash, and the fact that they always like doing it, and because our Moshe accepts it. Right? Moshe accepts the argument.
Why do they say that Moshe would accept a...
You're right, they could, but they don't want to. The other diuk is Graeber's diuk, which is what's explicit in the Gemara, which is tsuveti tsuveti tsuveti, which is I was commanded and then I commanded, which gives you a petach, right? So Chazal have very good textual cues here. But in order to do that, they counter-read. They say that what sounds like a screaming match, hein lo huva et amal kodesh penima, is, was it, did it go penima? No? Okay. Did it do this? No? Okay. Then what's wrong? I have alumnus for you. I have a taka alumnus for you. And Moshe says, oh, so we need an answer. So we, good. So we partially have answered. We've partially answered one question. We've partially answered one question, which is how did Chazal get the notion? What we have not answered is the following. What do we still need to answer? We still need to answer, which is, well, why does Aaron get to make lamdas against Moshe when other people get it? Or what is this supposed to teach us? How are you supposed to deal with the fact that Nadav and Avihu die, at least according to Gemara and Erevin, specifically because they did this, and now Elazar, Itamar, and Aaron do it, and it's totally fine? Right? What is the lesson you're supposed to learn about that? And what are we supposed to... Right? So what are we supposed to learn from that? What exactly is his argument? And there is another thing that we have to deal with, which is Moshe's anger seems to explicitly explode from what? This carbon. Now, there's two reasons that it could explode from this carbon. One is this is the one where he thinks they didn't listen to him. Right? The other is that there's something unique about this carbon, namely that it's a chatat. Which one is more likely in the story? So it's not clear, because on the one hand he says kasher tziveti, which is the emphasis on this is not what I told you. What's the other problem? But what's the indication that it might be that it's a chatat? He says, how could you not bring this? That I gave this to you to carry their sin, which means it might be the karba. So we still need to ask in the story, is okay, what exactly, why is it that, what are we learning from the contrast between Nadav and Avihu not listening to God and being killed, and poskening in front of Moshe and being killed, versus this one where it's totally fine? Point two is, what is the particular anxiety that Moshe feels around this? Is it just that it happens to be the carbon where he thinks he's not being listened to, the emphasis being on kasher tziveti? Or is it something about this chatat that creates the anxiety? Now, besides the fact that he does emphasize this is the carbon chatat which is bringing about their atonement, what's the other clue that that might be part of the story that we have to answer? What? Well, it also turns out, according to the Gemara, this carbon is fundamentally different. Right? Meaning, is that the Gemara assumes that it's actually different. Right? Meaning, think about it. Aaron actually says, maybe you misunderstood that we're supposed to continue doing the miluim, but the regular everyday carbonot, it would be wrong. Which means that there's something about this carbon which happens to be brought on this day, but isn't dafka for this day. There's something about that carbon that is unique, and that is what Moshe buys. Meaning it's unique and it's not uniqueness, but what exactly is that? Right, and Moshe says, and Aaron says, no, it isn't. This is just a normal carbon which happens to be brought today. Right? And so it does sound like the carbon is actually... Right, part of this story. Okay? So, I guess next week, what we'll come back is... But yes, I thought about this long and hard. I was like, do I give you a source sheet? And I'm like, no, I don't give you a source sheet. No. This is this type of agadata to understand what's going on. Right? You need the Gemara and you need the Psukim to understand what they're picking up on, what they're changing, what they're counter-reading. Okay, next week I can print out a source sheet. I have a source sheet ready. It's not a big deal. Okay.